Good evening. My name's Teresa. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you so much for your warm welcome tonight. It was fun to drive up here with my sponsor and my sober sister, and it's great to be here. I've been sober since June 6, 2018. I have a home group. It's the Bellflower Big Book Group, and if you ever want to come visit us on Monday night in Bellflower, we'd love to have you. And Rosie's my sponsor. And what it was like. It all started in Orange County in the early 80s. I was just, like I think a lot of us, just an incredibly awkward, innocent, little, fearful girl, you know, like afraid that the sky was going to fall in. No matter what I was given, which was a lot in my childhood, no matter what I had material-wise, like I always felt this sense of insecurity, fear. No one was loving me right. I didn't get enough candy. I didn't get enough toys, you know. And I think the way I dealt with that was by getting really good in school. You know, I can control something if I can get good grades and I can shine and get that affection and attention from my teachers. And in the meantime, here I am. It's the 90s now, so I've got, like, glasses that are slightly more dorky than these ones, but they're, like, the big red Sally Jesse Raphael glasses, and I have braces, and I have a unibrow and a really bad perm, and I'm buttoning my little school uniform all the way up to the top, and I'm getting straight A's, and I'm just, you know, doing my best to, like, force my way through life. And that was really the story of my childhood and most of my teenage years. And I started pretty late with my drinking compared to a lot of us. I didn't start drinking until I was 18. And growing up, it was just me, my mom, and my brother. And she would always tell us, you know, you guys can't take a drink because I have so many alcoholics on my side of the family. If you guys take one drink, you're going to end up, you know, and she would give us all these horror stories. So I always thought, oh my gosh. And not like I even had any friends anyway. You know, I had a couple little girlfriends, but I didn't get invited to parties. I never got, you know, passed a bottle or anything anyway. Until I was right about to go off to college, and my friend's older brother, got us, I think, some Malibu. I remember it tasting really fruity. And, oh, man, getting to share that Malibu with him, my friend, was like, you know, after struggling for 18 years of life, just in that super stressed out, scared, anxious situation, and then all of a sudden you get this chill, warmth, like I felt invincible. I felt like I didn't care what you thought of me. I didn't care about my grades. I didn't care if my parents were happy with me or not. Like, I didn't care about anything. And I just felt that good, warm, floaty feeling. And I remember really having a recognition of, like, oh, yeah, this is something I'm going to continue to do. I got in big trouble that night because I didn't come home until extremely late, and this was way before cell phones. So I really scared my dad, who I was living with at the time, and I got in really big trouble, but I did not care. And I had gone off to college shortly thereafter. I, you know, already had resentments and was doing geographics in high school because I went to a Catholic school, and I had resentments against all the pretty cheerleaders and all the jocks. And I was an intellectual, and I was determined to go up to this other place and get away from all of you people. So before I even really started drinking, I was like, I need to get out of Orange County and go to Oregon where I can be with my people, you know? And what I was also able to do up there was be surrounded by a lot of people that love to drink and party. And very quickly, I went from, like, a straight-A student who didn't really get into any trouble to all my grades are starting to kind of scrape the bare minimum. I'm getting talked to by my teachers. I'm, you know, interacting perhaps inappropriately with a lot of different people throughout the campus every weekend and getting kind of a bad reputation. And getting some taste, a little bit of a taste of that pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization, throwing up in the toilet all night and, you know, excuse me, let me back up a little, coming back to my dorm wasted, screaming in someone's face like, you, who had done nothing to me at all, and then going to the toilet, throwing up in the toilet all night, sleeping by it, and then even though I was terribly hungover, could not wait to do it again. So I didn't realize it at the time, but alcohol clearly had a hold on me, and I was starting to slowly shape my life in ways that would let me put alcohol kind of at the center and really let me drink no matter what else I was doing. So I graduated college. I stayed living in Portland for a little while, and then I met him, and we moved to San Francisco, and we got married, and we both liked to drink, and we had a very toxic alcoholic relationship. And I know now from doing a lot of step work on it that I did not really love him at all. I just didn't want to be alone. And so I got married and we had this, you know, thing. And of course it fell apart because it wasn't based on anything. And even though I was the one who asked for the divorce, I was so full of self-pity and sadness after that, of course, I had to drink over those feelings. And I think more than anything, I was just embarrassed at what people would think of me, that I, you know, had a marriage that fell apart. But at that time, my drinking got a lot worse. My doctor prescribed me some sedatives, and I started to mix the two together. I had an evening where I was texting one of my friends full of self-pity, like, I'm just going to take these pills and drink, and I don't care what happens. And the next thing I know after I've been doing that is I wake up with two San Francisco Police Department officers standing over me trying to shake me awake in my living room. And I don't know why they didn't 5150 me. I think maybe it was just too much paperwork for them, but they ended up just kind of like leaving me be. And I remember kind of like splashing water on my face and shaking it off and going out partying that night with my friends. And so that time in San Francisco before my divorce, I had been studying to become a nurse. And during that time, I was able to not drink during that year of program. I was like very into all the validation and all the stuff I was getting from that program. I wasn't drinking. I was really focused. But as soon as I was done and I knew I was going to get to that finish line and I was going to be like, then the party is on. Because I'm only going to be working 3 days a week. I'm going to be divorced. I'm going to have my own money, my own place. I'm going to be like, you know, going for it. So I ended up moving back down to Orange County because that's where I was able to get a job. And then my drinking just progressed and progressed and progressed because I'm living by myself at this point. And I had relationships, but I didn't really have anybody seeing how I was drinking. And with the schedule I had and the people I started surrounding myself with, I began to drink every day. I began to not really care if I had to call out of work all the time because I was hungover. I didn't care if I showed up to work hungover. And then I started to have, I guess, I don't know if you want to call it the Four Horsemen, but just those feelings of like, that dread was on me and that feeling that like, this isn't going well and I hate my life and I want to die and like the alcohol isn't fixing it anymore. And then I was like, well, maybe I need to kind of stop and scale back. And then I was finding that I couldn't do that. Like I would go home and I would be like, okay, I went to Trader Joe's and I didn't buy vodka this time. I'm just gonna like make myself a salad and I'm gonna go to bed early and I'm going to wake up and show up at the hospital and take care of my patients not hungover and sober. And I would get home and I wouldn't be able to not drink. And I'd be up all night drinking and then, you know, have to call out. Or in one instance, I did not call out in time and decided to go back and take care of those patients. And I had a nurse start to speak to me. I believe it was God that was speaking to me through her and was basically telling me about her patient that was a lot like what I was doing. She was drinking, she was suicidal, and her patient was brain dead, and her mom and her brother were coming to take her off life support that day. And although I'm not, was not someone who believed in God before I got sober, that moment really struck me, and I felt like someone somewhere was trying to tell me that I needed to stop or I was going to face really dire consequences. And so I decided I probably needed to try and get sober, and thank God my brother got sober before me. He got sober in 2015. And I got to see him take his one-year cake at a meeting a lot like this one with all the love in the room and the laughter and the joy and just that feeling like when you walk in that there's all these happy alcoholics that you don't know how they're happy because they're not drinking. At least that's what I thought at the time. I was like, oh, wow, these people all seem really like they're doing good, you know? And so I had known through him what Alcoholics Anonymous was, and I had seen his transformation, and I knew what it could possibly do for me. And even though I was terrified and I didn't know if I would fit in, I didn't know if it would work for me, I certainly did not know if I would find a God of my understanding. That part really scared me. But I think I just got a nudge from God and I had just a small enough window that I was able to step through it and just try. And so I've been going to meetings from that point until now. I got a sponsor within like my first 30, 60 days and started working the steps right away. And the steps have given me so much freedom, so much knowledge about myself, sometimes knowledge about myself that I did not want. But even though it's been very uncomfortable and scary at times, I've been able to clear enough of the crap from my past away, and I get the opportunity, if I'm honest, to keep clearing away that junk to stay sober and to stay happy another day. And if you're new, I hope you stay and get a sponsor and work the steps. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.